We'll just sort of continue with the music and think of John singing one of his favourite songs. Miserable Yorkshire rainy day, to this celebration of the life of John Hopkinson. We know that in normal times we would be celebrating his life and song with a chapel full of people, with more than just three hymns, with food, with drink. Yes, there would be lots of tears, but there would be laughter. And with a bit of luck, we are going to try and do that, as the family have requested, in a memorial service later in the year, time as yet unspecified, back in Haworth somewhere. But these are not normal times, and we are doing the best that we can today. So we'll move into a short opening prayer. God of life and love, help us now, as we grieve over the loss of John, who we love and have shared our lives with. Help us this morning both grieve our loss and celebrate his life. Bless us now with open hearts and open minds, ready to accept any comfort that you might have for us. Amen. John and I spoke about today, well, this service, not today, many times over the last few years. And this, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, was his first choice of hymn. I admit that I don't think I had ever heard it, but I'm enjoying reading it now and the certainty that it proclaims. And it's in this certainty that John is in God's hands now, that this whole service continues. And now I'm going to read three short eulogies on behalf of John's children, Andrew, Abigail, and then Simon. So I bring them tentatively, and I hope I don't stumble over the words, and I hope you've got the Kleenex ready If yes, you have, well done, some of you. So from Andrew, Dad. Yeah, there's spares. You have to throw them though, we're not allowed to pass, okay. From Andrew, entitled Dad. There are many things I wanted to chat to you about but didn't get the chance. But at least I was able to tell you I loved you, and the knowledge that you heard me is keeping me stronger. I will miss you on so many levels. Thank you for everything you gave me. A knowledge and understanding of God. A need for justice, equality, and the importance of tolerance. An open at all times loving home. A love of sunsets. A love of singing hymns, listening to Welsh male voice choirs. A passion for Yorkshire. I could go on, but now we need to say farewell. We know it is not the end. Thank you for being our dad. From Abigail, memories of you, Dad. It's been the hardest thing to lose you. You meant so much to us, but you are in our hearts, Dad. That's where you'll always be. We know that heaven called you, but we wish you could have stayed. At least the memories we have of you, they will never fade. We did not want to lose you, but you did not go alone, because a part of us went with you when heaven called you home. So just remember one thing, we are not apart. You are with us in our memories and in our broken hearts. Your loving daughter, Abigail. And from Simon, bye for now. For many years, every time I left Dad in Howarth, every time we hung up the phone or disconnected on Skype, our parting words were always, bye for now. I can't even remember which of us first used those words to the exclusion of any other concluding phrase. Regardless, these words came to mean everything from, I'll see you in an hour, to give me a shout if you get bored. Implicitly, they also came to mean, I love you. For someone as kind and as amenable as Dad, you might imagine the words, I love you, would be easy words, dished out with reckless abandon. But for some reason, Dad rarely volunteered such open expressions of affection. Never for a moment could I have wondered, though. Never was there a moment of doubt. Dad loved each of us with all his heart. In recent months, the words, bye for now, took on a greater impetus for me. Bye for now. Not goodbye, but see you later. See you tomorrow or the next. Instead of the all-encompassing and loaded mantra, for me it gradually became an advisory, then an urgent appeal, and ultimately almost a demand. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right back. And until he was no longer able, Dad would always repeat it back to me and smile and nod. Since Dad passed away, I found myself thinking often about the words, bye for now. Admittedly, while shamelessly wallowing in self-pity that I'd never hear these words from him again, but I pondered about why he and I would settle on those words to the exclusion of any other parting phrase, and I've had a bit of an epiphany. Dad's time on earth was a stepping stone. With all his heart and with every fibre of his being, Dad knew that once his time here was done, a new journey would begin. When Dad died, he didn't depart. He set off, striding down a new path, while I was stressing the phrase bye for now in mortal terms these last few months, Dad was embracing the phrase in its spiritual terms. He was excited about the next leg of his journey, and there were no lingering doubts about his destination. With absolute faith, Dad knew where he was going, and he knew that one day he would see us all again. So, Dad, in deference to your infinite wisdom, bye for now. Not sure those three eulogies can be topped, but in deference to John's love of scripture and tradition, I'm going to read a piece from John's Gospel that you may have heard before, you may know well, from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is a classic reading. And perhaps it's a little like the hymn that John chose for us to sing at the start when the roll is called up yonder. It could be read as a trifle self-indulgent, self-centred. I'm going to get my own room in heaven. Aren't I okay, Jack? But I think this is far, far from the focus that the writer, John, would have understood, and far, far from the way your John, would have understood it as well. It is, I think, actually there simply to give assurance in troubled times. All will be well, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well, as said by Julian of Norwich in her troubled times, and I think John would have liked it. I suggest that he owned it, that deep down peace and assurance that he was known and loved by God. This seemed to run through the very centre of John and left no place for fear and anxiety. I have known John just for the last 20 years, but in all those times I have never once heard him question or doubt or worry. Even losing his beloved Christine, I never know him wavering his core conviction. He was known and loved by God and all was well. And perhaps because of this, he then lived his life not with reckless, selfish abandon, but with a graceful freedom to get involved and enjoy so many and varied things, very often for and with other people. You all know better than me his interests in supporting others through education, art, politics, music, trains. The list goes on and on and on. The experiment in international living, John's pacifism, his methodism, his love of driving, of all things, exploring churches in different countries, his consideration of church traditions and ecumenism. John, I heard recently, would be the phone-a-friend of choice for Simon's partner, Cheryl. I think it would have been a very wise choice. It probably would have been mine on reflection as well. Well, we're going to listen to a poem that John, I know, liked now. It's not on our service sheets, so I'll read it out without you knowing where I'm making mistakes. But it was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastoral theologian, the church leader famous for standing up to Hitler and incarcerated for his involvement in a plot to kill Hitler. Well, knowing John's pacifism, well, this may sound strange, but Bonhoeffer was a noted pacifist too. And his reason for getting involved in a failed assassination attempt went something like this. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Participation and getting involved was part of John's makeup too. So as we listen to the poem, written in a time of great social change and upheaval and anxiety personally, perhaps we might give thanks to God that John's race is run and his struggle is over, even as ours somehow continues. The poem is entitled, Who Am I? Remember, it was written when he was in confinement, knowing full well his fate, but not the date of it. Who am I? They often tell me I stepped from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me I used to speak to my warders freely and friendly and clearly, as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me I bore the days of misfortune equably, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really that which other men tell of me? Or am I only what I know of myself, restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colours, for flowers, for the voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighbourliness, tossing in expectations of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance, weary and empty at praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I? This or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once? A hypocrite before others and before myself, a contemptible, woebegone weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. It is that last line that me kicks this into a great poem, and one that John liked. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine. This was and is still true of John. And so we are going to listen to the hymn written by Bonhoeffer, By Gracious Powers. And again, I think it works for these days as well as just this day. It's sung here by a friend of John's and mine, James Hutton.
What may we know that
For our prayers now, I'm going to shamelessly steal some words of John himself. As many of you might know, church services in the Worth Valley haven't been happening for this last nearly 10 months now. And I and the other clergy have been doing video services initially. And I went down to Thornfield on a couple of occasions, one to get John to sing, and so I could put in the bass line of one of the songs and put it alongside other choir members singing the alto and soprano lines, and he did it like a star with his little earbuds in, and in the lounge at Thornfield. It was a good recording studio. But on a separate occasion I went down and he led us in our services prayers, and it was just on, I don't know, lockdown 2.0 or 3.0, something or other. And I asked him, how are you going on, John? Oh, I'm all right, as he always said. But he did speak in the prayers about the isolation that had been induced, but how the best thing he'd ever done was move into Thornfield, and all the friends and the colleagues and jigsaws here and tables there and all the rest of it. But he was also getting a slight kick of, he defined it like Alcatraz at the moment. And we're breaking the law. But he also quite enjoyed breaking the law with me, his church minister, laughing. Life goes on, he said. There's still lots of letters to write, organs to repair, jigsaws to be done. And so I bring these words that I've cribbed from that video. I haven't got John's sonorous praying voice, which he slid into, but I won't try that, but... And again, these words just feel appropriate for today. A prayer for our country. God of hope, in these times of change, unite our nation and guide our leaders with your wisdom. Give us courage to overcome our fears
and help us build a future in which all may prosper and share. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for the world. God of love and hope, you made the world and care for all creation, but the world you gave us feels strange right now. The news is full of stories about coronavirus, and many people are worried that they might get ill. Others are anxious about their families and friends. Be with them and help them find peace. We pray for the doctors and nurses and scientists, all who are working to discover the right medicines to help those who are ill. Thank you that even in these anxious times, we may know the everlasting arms and help us put our trust in you and keep us safe. Lord Jesus Christ, you taught us to love our neighbour and help those in need as if we were caring for you. Amen. And now a brief prayer of my own. Loving God, as we have celebrated John's life in song and in words, we recognise that the nature of tomorrow will be very different, especially for Andrew, Abigail, and Simon. Bless them and bless us all as we go into a world with memories of John, as opposed to his presence with us each day. As the bye for now is said again and again, but just to ourselves. Bless us in these weeks and months to come, and bless Andrew, Abigail, and Simon, and all the family as they move on, carrying their grief, as bit by bit that grief is turned into gold. Amen. We say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The final hymn that we won't sing, but I won't tell. If you want to sing behind your masks, that's fine. Simon tells me was sung by the family on holiday with John taking the bass part. I don't know if there's any basses here, but one more step along the world I go.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to singing that very loud when we're allowed to next time. A commendation and committal before a final blessing. God has blessed and enriched our lives in giving us John to know and love here on earth. And though our time together is now over, in committing his body to be cremated, we give over to God the care of his spirit, and we name our hope again that we will one day be reunited with him in God's house, where Jesus has prepared a room for all. May the Lord bless him and keep him. The Lord make his face shine upon him and give him peace. And as scripture was so important to John throughout his life, one more piece from Paul's letter to the Romans. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And a blessing on us all as we go from here. It's well over 400 years old. God be in your head and in your understanding. God be in your eyes and in your looking. God be in your mouth and in your speaking. God be at your end and at your departing. Amen. Press the button and see if we can have one more step again. I don't know.